and she's going to preach today, so we want to pray for her, so join me. Father God, thank you for your servant, Tara. Thank you that you thought her up.
Yes.
And then you have guided her in your special way all the way through. She is special. And we just thank you for the words that you've given her to us. Open our ears. Let us have ears to hear. And just give her peace. And just open up her heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, so I get texted from Brad, and it's, okay, so you're going to do Invasion of Love, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds so cool, I love them. I was really excited, and then I get caught down a rabbit hole, so I got caught in the world idea of Invasion, and it's right, so Wes and I were, so the first thing I thought of was like D-Day, is like, I love history. And that's one of my favorite events because that, you know, changed the course of World War II, many historians believe. And then I think, you know, I teach my kids and we love to, like, go through ancient history and then the Middle Ages. And when you're doing ancient, you learn a lot about Rome and how Rome invades and how Alexander the Great, like, takes over. And it changed, you know, it created a whole thing that's now known as the Western world because of, like, these invasions. So it's really cool. So then Wes and I were like, oh, well, let's, like, Google, like, the stages of invasion. So we, like, Google it together. And then it comes up as botanical. It's, like, the first thing that comes up for everything, which I thought was funny. You have to, like, really clarify invasion war, which I thought was interesting. And so it talks about...
Yeah.
Invasive species, and it's botanical. And then I was like, well, what invaded my life? And one was marriage. You know, you say yes, and then your whole life is taken over by loving a whole another human being. And then the other thing that was, like, really obvious, I'm sure to all of you, me being a mom of six, I have been invaded 6 times. and it's like a whole thing, right? Like, you get nauseous. Like, you can't even, like, function. You're exhausted. Like, and that's even before they're outside your body. And you, like, they come out, and then they're everywhere, too. Because there's diapers, and then there's poop explosions, and there's setups. And then your whole, like, half of my life is about them, right? So that is invasive, correct?
Probably more than that.
So I'm caught on this rabbit hole. But nothing was settling. I was like, well, how do I go from, like, babies are invasive to Jesus? Like, that's not, like, working for me. And so I just really pressed in and was like, well, what is your definition of the invasion of love, God? And my languages and my ideas were limiting the invasion of what God's love looks like and his idea of invasion. And it's not, what I learned when he was taking me through this, is it's not always big and loud, or even sometimes super personal. But it's it's experiences, it's sometimes people in authority over us, and it's saying yes and responding with a scared but willing heart. That is what I've learned is invasion of the love of God. So, we're going to read a lot of the Bible today, because where else can you find God's definitions about himself but in the Word of God? So, I really like knowing the character of God, right? When you read through Psalms, I've been reading through Psalms, and every new Bible I get, I try to pick a different theme of, like, what, like, I want to zone in on with the Lord. And so all over Psalms right now, you can find I've got lots of pink. And all of this pink is the character traits of God. And by the way, this is a really fun way to study your Bible if you need things to be fun and cute. So I am that person. I like creating And I just want it to be obvious. And you know, one of the people that inspired that was always looking at Sue Worthy's Bible. And how she just, every page, there was like, and she wrote dates too, which I thought was really special. Like on that day, I heard God speak to me about that verse. I'm not as specific as she is, but I just, it was just beautiful and inspiring. And so if you guys want to color your Bible, do it. Crayons, I recommend crayons because they don't bleed through and they're really easy to use. So anyway, so you're reading through the book of Psalms and we see that he's a rock, he's a refuge, he's a redeemer, he's a rescuer, he's a savior, he's a listener, he's a creator, he's a protector, he's mighty. He's a leader, he's God, he's faithful, and he's full of everlasting
life.
Wow. Good job, you guys read the Bible too. and so I love that. He is love, he invades us. And we read in 1 John 4, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God," right? We don't define love. We don't have love figured out, okay? Which is what I learned when prepping the sermon. But it's he loved us. He sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us, and in his, and his love is made complete in us. And so that is the definition I am working with when I'm reading these stories of the Bible of God is love. And you can see his love manifest in really different ways. So we're going to start in the book of Genesis. I'm very near the beginning. After the fall with a guy named Cain. And he's not necessarily a guy you think of when you think God loves, like God is love and God loves us and he shows his love. But I love, if you know me, I love Hebrews 12. And Hebrews 12 says, God deals with us as sons. For what son is there that he does not discipline? So a father disciplines his son, right? And the Lord is so kind. The Lord is so kind to Cain. He sees what is in Cain's heart. He says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you furious? Why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" That was God's love showing up to Cain. He says, "Look, I see sin is in your life. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to reprove you. I'm going to help you get back on track." And you know what we can do sometimes with the love of God when it shows up right at our face? I mean, he hears God talk to him. We don't know if it was in person or if God just went like this with a megaphone. We don't know what that was. But we can experience God's love, and then guess what we can do? We can reject it. We can choose a different path. And I mean, what would have happened if Cain would have said, "Yeah, totally. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to course correct." But he didn't. So that is the first love story that God showed me. Look, this is how I invade. So he invades us through discipline. The next guy I wanted to take a look at was Joseph. So we know this word. Oh, where did we have water?
We put it right there.
Oh, that wasn't very helpful. Sorry. Oh, you couldn't see me. Okay. Got it. Okay. So the next guy is Joseph. And Judah. But at the very end, right? So we know all his brothers show up and they're like, dude. Oh, they don't know it's his brother yet. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. So they figure out Joseph is the one providing them food and setting them up, but also forgiving them. It's like a crazy story. You should read it. And at the very end, their dad dies, and they're like, oh no, dad's dead. We better like tell him that dad said he should still forgive us, right? And it's really interesting. Joseph's response to them is this. He says, okay, so they say this. The brothers say, therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, of the God of your father. And Joseph responds by weeping. Joseph wept when their message came to him. His brothers also came to him. And they bowed down before him and they said, we're your slaves, right? They get like, they're really worried that their brother's wrath is going to be on them because they did an evil thing, right? And they're still feeling that. But Joseph says to them, don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You planned evil against me, but God planned it for good, to bring about the present result of the survival of many people. And I love this in this story of the invasion of God's love, because it looks really weird, right? This guy is betrayed by his own brothers just for his dad loving him greatly, right? And their jealousy so takes over that they sell their brother, and then it gets worse when they trick their dad into thinking their favorite son is dead, right? This is an insane story of God's love. And God shows up in Joseph. Like, Joseph could be bitter. Joseph could have chosen the heart of Cain. And in this story, we see that he chooses to accept the love of God. He knows who he is. He knows he's a hard worker. He knows he's a faithful son. And he shows up to all of his jobs accordingly, to such an extent that he's set free from slavery and put over a nation of people who he has the wisdom and the insight to help in time of need. What? That is God's love. Right? Right? So those are only the first two stories, you guys. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, so then we get to Exodus, and we go through just a narrative, like God takes a whole people, right? They're not even a nation yet. They're just like offspring of one guy, right? We know they're the offspring of Abraham, right? And they've multiplied, and we obviously know from Jacob, he's really good at making babies. And if doing that, there's a lot of babies. It'd be like, I don't know what we're gonna look like in 400 years. We'll probably have a nation. I don't know. So he takes his people and he says, okay, I hear your cries, and not only am I going to set you free, but I'm going to call you a nation. I'm going to set you apart, and you're going to be mine. What? Just for the record, like, when you're reading about gods and how ancient people worshipped, gods didn't do that. Gods were arrogant. Gods were tricksters. They were toying with people. Like, they were just like cat and mouse games. I mean, it's uncomfortable to read some of these mythology stories. And then here, this God shows up and he says, you're mine and I'm yours. And I'm going to love you no matter what. And he freaking loves them hard. Because they're bad. They're a really naughty group of people. And he just, like, loves them. He just loves them. And so I really like how you read the book of Psalms. And they summarize stuff. So Psalm 106 is kind of, like, about how naughty they were. And it's I have this verse to kind of summarize that. They exchanged their glory for a grass-eating ox. forgot their Savior. He did great things in Egypt. That was only just one synopsis, you guys. They did a lot. And then Psalm 107, though, talks about how they do cry out and how faithful the Lord is and how he showed up again and again despite who they were. So they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love. That is the invasion of the love of God. And how cool that he shows up to a whole group of people. And that's not as personal, right? It's not quite as personal as Cain hearing directly from God. But it's powerful. And sometimes we experience the invasion of God's love in a group setting. Like, I've experienced it in this congregation specifically. We talk all the time that I am a big part of the woman I am today is because my mom never left this church, even though she probably wanted to leave a lot. So good job, Mom. Good job, Mom. Thank you for letting them be a voice in my life. So good job. Okay, so then we scoot over to, there's so many people, it's hard to like pick just one guy, like I said. So another person that we see the love of God in is Rahab, a prostitute. And we can just talk about her. Okay, so, I mean, she is, it's in scripture. But at first I thought it was like assumed, but then I saw other places in the Bible refer to Rahab as a prostitute. She is a woman who hears stories about God. She just hears them. She hears these rumors about a God who takes a group of people and sets them free from Egypt. She hears that they're coming to her city, and she chooses to protect them. She chooses to risk her own life. And when King's messengers show up to go, dude, we heard spies stop by your house. And she's like, yeah, they already left. You just missed them. And that took guts. You know what? But you know what happened? She was invaded by the love of God to such an extent that God goes, that brave woman is going to be in the line of my son. How crazy is that? Just by believing a story, by having a little bit of faith. So part of the invasion of God's love is having some faith and saying, I'm going to believe and I'm going to move forward and be stoked and do a hard, scary thing. So that's exciting, right?
Yeah.
So then this woman, I feel like, gets really forgotten. And you guys, I'm skipping so many stories. Like, you guys can probably like, have powwows about God's love. And, I mean, I'm only scratching the surface, okay? So here's the next one God put on my heart, and it was Samson's mom. And I feel like she gets forgotten a lot. So we get overshadowed by this big, large man with beautiful hair who is acting like a buffoon. And I think it's really funny that he's the star of the show when it says that an angel shows up to this woman who had been barren. They don't even get to know her name. But he shows up and he says, look, I've got all these rules for you, lady, and if you follow all my rules, God's rules, God's going to bless you with this child. And it's a lot. It's like you can't get your hair, you can't drink wine. And she says, yes, I'll do it. Whatever you tell me to do. I want a baby. I will do it. And it actually reminded me of the story of Hagar, where Hagar refers to the Lord as El Roy, because in this place, I have actually seen the one who sees me. And I feel like this nameless woman sees the Lord, and she realizes God sees her back. And God is even kind and invades, you know, Samson with his love, even though he's really ridiculous. I mean, right? He's drinking when he's not supposed to be drinking. He's fornicating and, like, giving himself away to, like, random women, sleeping with the enemy, who he's, like, supposed to be killing. He's, like, a naughty. He's not. lets him end his life with his strength. And it may not seem like a big deal, but that was a big deal. That was all Samson knew. That was all he was about, was his strength and using it in a mighty way. And God said, okay, I'll give it back to you. That's one last time. He ends up dying. And in the end, that action gives God glory, you know? And so I just think that's a neat story. It's a neat way to think of God loving us. So my next person is a Gentile, which I also wanted to point out was really cool about Rahab. Sorry, I forgot. How during this time, right, it's obvious that God has set apart and chosen his people, right? And it's a really big deal to be like, I am a Jew. You had to like understand and know your lineage. And here he goes and grafts in somebody different. And then I think it's really neat that you get to Naaman, who is, he works for the enemy's army. Sorry, my hands are so cold. he works for the enemy's army, and he's this arrogant, I don't know, there's something about Naaman. He's not really my favorite person in the Bible. But he's like, what? He goes to Elijah basically and says, okay, my servant girl said, can you heal me? And she says, you're the guy for the job. And he doesn't even come out to greet him. And he's like, what? You don't even come out to greet me? Don't you know who I am? I'm Naaman. And so he says, you're going to go wash. And I find it really interesting because I feel like as I was prepping, it says, I remembered when Jesus said that we're to love our enemies. And I don't think they really even understood, the disciples understood what that meant. But God had already kind of shown us in the story what it looks like to love our enemies. Because he heals this man, and he doesn't have to. And he does it anyway. And I feel like that is another story of the invasion of God's love. And I think it's so important to hear these stories because it's easy to think God's love can't invade me. I can't do anything special. I can't be used by God. But, like, these are ordinary people. Like, we don't even know Samson's mom's name. Mm-hmm. And God shows up to her. And Samson was a jerk. And God shows up to him at the end of his jerky life. And still shows up with his love. This man, Naaman, is this arrogant guy, and God again shows, he didn't have to heal him. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in his character that said, because I'm God and creator of the universe, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. He chooses to do this. He chooses to show his love, and we get the opportunity to respond. And sometimes we respond well, and sometimes we don't respond well. But I want us to walk away wanting to respond well. Mm-hmm. I want us to remember how great our God is. All right, so he not only does he show up in people's stories personally, like what we just read, but he also shows up through prophets, which I think is so beautiful. He doesn't have to show up through prophets. But he gives us warnings, and he gives us an idea of his love. And I just love it. He's so nice. Alright, sorry, I have a lot of sticky notes, and it's hard to remember which sticky note is from this talk, and let's just put a note to myself. So give me just a second. Okay, I love Hosea. So he takes a prophet, Hosea, and he has Hosea marry a woman who enjoys the love of other men and is really kind of like oh, people you hear about today who are like, we aren't really made to be monogamous. Like, look at the animals. We can just sleep with whoever. That's what Jose, I mean, that's what she kind of reminds me of, as Hosea's bride. And God shows up to Hosea and he says, look, I want you to marry this lady. And guess what? She's gonna be bad for you. She's not gonna love you faithfully. And you're still gonna show up and you're gonna be faithful to her regardless of her actions, regardless of her betrayal, regardless of her character. You're gonna be your best self to this woman. Because I am that to my people. Oh, isn't that so powerful? And so one of my favorite passages is where he takes her. Where is it? Yes, we're in. Oh, he says this. He says, therefore, I'm going to persuade her. This is God talking about us. I'm going to persuade her and lead her to the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There, I will give her back her vineyard. And I will make the valley of Achor into a gateway of hope. There she will respond as she did in the days of her youth, as in the days she came out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that just beautiful? Here we are falling away from him. I mean, some people use the term backsliding. I don't feel like that's necessarily the term, but just picking back up old idols. And losing our focus on who God is in our life. And he says to us, you can be as unfaithful as you want, but when my love invades you, this is what it looks like. I'm going to persuade you. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to lead you back into the wilderness. I'm going to speak tenderly to you. That's not just for this group of people. The beautiful thing about this book, you guys, is yes, there are contextual stories, but the living, active Holy Spirit is here when you're reading this book. And so you can read this book and God can speak to you from that story. So you can be unfaithful. I have really been struggling with specific idols in my life recently. I've had to delete apps off my phone because I get distracted and I'm spending my time in a way that isn't honoring my family or honoring the Lord. And I don't feel like God's yelling at me. I feel like he's like nudging me. He's so kind. And it's that persuasion. It's that tenderness. It's that, he says he's going to make it into a gateway of hope. He is beckoning to us. And sometimes the invasion is loud and intense, you know, like Samson knocking down walls. And sometimes the invasion of God's love is a whisper, and it's tender, and it's beautiful. Well, I think all of it's beautiful. Okay, so then we get to, like, the main character of the story. And the main character, if you didn't know, is Jesus.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Swirl. And he definitely invades a lot more obviously in this story, right? Because he invades a reputation. This young girl, an angel comes to her, and her whole life is literally on the line. Because we know what can happen if Joseph decides that he doesn't want any part in this. Do you guys remember, like, what's the most extreme thing that could happen to this young girl? Death. Death could happen to this young girl. And what does she do? She says, I'm here, right? We just heard the passages today. I am here. I am your servant. Were her knees probably knocking together?
Yeah.
Like, totally. I think my knees would be knocking together. And he shows up and he invades her body and he invades her reputation. And I just love it. I love that Joseph, so it says here in Galatians, I did not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking about Joseph had the opportunity to get a new wife. He was even like on the path to get a new wife. God shows up, gives him a dream, and says, no, she's fully speaking the truth, do it. And he still could have said no, you guys, bless you. He still could have gone forward and picked he was a righteous man, right? He could have kept being a righteous, godly, Jewish man, which was his right. It was his right to be that. But like Galatians 2 said, I do not set aside the grace of God. For his righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. He knew there was something here. He knew that it was worth it. It was worth the sacrifice. So, reputations are thrown out, and Joseph is fully ready to throw it all away. To be with this girl. It's not just Mary who had to sacrifice who she was and who she was. And it disrupts an entire community, right? Like, when Wes and I eloped, we disrupted this church. We disrupted his family. It was a disruption. But you guys chose. You guys chose us. And you guys chose to keep us around. And I found out, I don't know, like 7 years ago, that someone in our church had thought the whole time that we had gotten pregnant with Hero ahead of time. And he said, it was really hard for me to forgive you of that. And I was like, there was nothing to forgive. We really waited. He chose for like our situation to invade his life and to accept us, you know? And that is a small idea of the invasion of Jesus Christ, right? He disrupts a whole family, a whole town. They're known forever as that couple that couldn't wait, right? And were impure before they were officially done with their engagement. But because they obeyed, we benefited. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. God shows up to us, you guys, with his love in quiet ways, with authority through our pastor, with even authority of our government. He shows up through a word. Sometimes you're even just listening to a random song and that one lyric stands out to you and you can feel that pierce in your spirit. You're like, that's for me. you have a choice. You can choose to respond to that, whatever that is. For Joseph and Mary, it was, we're giving you a baby and we're disrupting your whole life and I'm invading every ounce of you forever. You can't get rid of kids. They last forever. And they said yes. And that one act of obedience that they thought was just for them was for everyone. When Wes and I got married and we said yes, at that moment it felt like it was just for us. But it's now for everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God has done really cool things in our marriage. He's done really cool things in our kids. And he's done cool things with us in our church. I mean, like, what if we said no? Mm-hmm. What if we said no? She's weird. He thought it was weird. But he put up with me, and he did. He went with it. I mean, what if I didn't obey God and deleted those apps? We probably wouldn't have a sermon today. It's a big thing to let God invade you.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. It does not have to be big things, you guys, for God's love to invade you. Mm-hmm. And that's the definition of God's invasion. Mm-hmm. It's not an invasive species that is a weed that you want to kick out of your garden. Mm-hmm. Unless, like Jesus says, he does keep the veil over some people's eyes, and maybe it is. But that's not what we picked. Mm-hmm. We are all here in this room because we said, nope, it is not an invasive species. It is not an evil entity trying mm-hmm. to take us over. Mm-hmm. This is something different. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say yes, mm-hmm. and we're going to obey, and we're going to be responsive. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have a couple of other verses. Mm-hmm. And then I really had on my heart, I'll just share this with you. So I really love how they describe Jesus in Philippians. I'm sure you guys all know it. It's on my list to memorize. It's a good one. But here's what it says, you guys. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Okay, let me just... When I preach, I get on my homeschool mom hat. So you guys, what it's saying here is that he was equal to God. And he didn't walk around strutting and saying, I'm equal to God. Come on. Like, I have all the power. I've got all the stuff. Let's do it, right? You know who wanted to exploit him? Peter. And then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. So, I love that. So that's us, though, right? Because it says that when we abide in Christ, he abides in us, right? He says he leaves his power and authority to us. But he doesn't say, walk around going, I got the power, right? Mm-hmm. There's like something to this character that I want to understand more. And I challenge you guys to understand it more too. Mm-hmm. So, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. See, there it is again, you guys. When we let love invade us, we become obedient. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't just become like regular yes mom, yes dad obedient. Mm-hmm. He becomes obedient to the point of death, mm-hmm. even death on a cross. Mm-hmm. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
That is, right? And we read in the beginning, right? God is love. And then we heard Kevin read from John, where it said, and he was the Word, and then he became flesh, right? Mm-hmm. And we see that here. I mean, it's just like, there's so many rabbit holes, you guys. We could just like keep going down this, and it's amazing. God is amazing. His love for us is amazing. And I really had on my heart that we would... look at the song, how great there are. And so we're actually going to have it. The verse is spoken. And then together we're going to sing the chorus. And everything that I read, I just kept thinking, these are people who in their soul said, how great thou art. They knew the greatness of God. And they were able to respond from that place. And I think when we really understand how great our God is, well, it makes sense to obey and say yes and have that love in us. So I want you guys to really listen to these verses differently since they're going to be spoken. And then together we're all going to sing. And I want you guys to think about these people. Think about Cain who said no. Think about Joseph who had a transformed life and didn't let bitterness take over. I want you to think about the people we talked when we sing about how great God is mm-hmm. and how great it would be to just say yes to him. Mm-hmm. All right, Wes, would you please read the first verse?
Yeah. You have to. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all of the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Then sings my soul, my Savior. To die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great
others with your love.
Yes.
We really pray. Amen.
Amen.